Today on The Journey.
Life's full of twists and turns, and life moves fast. But the person who lives with temperance keeps balance regardless of the circumstances. Temperance is that inner gauge that keeps control of your life.
Like a downhill skier in the Winter Olympics, the Christian often teeters between a winning run to the finish line and crashing into a snowbank. We're constantly balancing between the liberty of the gospel and the constraints of a holy life. In this half hour, Ron Moore shares how we must avoid the extremes that threaten our testimony and the race we run. We'll get to that right after a brief word about Ron's daily devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus and yourself that you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it on the web at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Controlling My Influence on the Journey.
Okay, so how many of you guys are enjoying the Olympics? Pretty cool to watch. It's amazing to watch these world-class athletes compete, and then to hear the story behind the scenes of years and years and years of preparation and years of commitment and years of determination for this moment, this one event, and sometimes just fractions of a second separates them from a medal. I particularly enjoyed the skiing. Those are some cool events. To see the speed that these athletes move with, and to see maneuvers that are unbelievable is just an amazing thing to watch. And what always amazes me is their success or failure, their winning or their losing, their receiving a medal or not, usually comes down to one thing at the end, summed up in one word, balance. Whether they are on the ground going, some of them, 60 miles an hour, and it's all about balance, whether they're on the ground or in the air or landing from some crazy maneuver. They have to maintain balance. Now, sometimes the balance isn't there. The speed of life sometimes makes us feel like we're on a downhill run. Things are happening fast. Job is going crazy, and there are things going on in the job and moving us around, and we feel like we're out of balance. There are things at home going on with the kids. They're growing up fast, and all the kids' activities, we feel like we get out of balance. There are all these activities with friends and expectations with friends and expectations with families. We're trying to work everything in, and we feel like we're out of balance. Then there's church stuff. You got to be at church. You got to serve at church. All these spiritual things that we want to do, but how do you fit them all in? How do you find the balance? How do you keep things under control? And then that's just external stuff. Now you get inside. Balancing our time. Balancing our desires. Balancing our checkbook. Balancing our spiritual life. And we know of far too many people who just get out of balance. Maybe you can relate to feeling like you're out of control. Maybe you're still recovering from the fall. Or maybe today you feel like you're just hanging on, just trying to keep it under control. Well, for all of us trying to maintain the balance, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're using three of the last books Paul wrote, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, as our primary source of our study, owning our influence. And we're looking at the character traits found in 1 Timothy 3. These character traits are specifically used to describe what an elder should be, but their application is for all of us, and that's how we're applying it broadly in our life. Today, we want to see how we can stay balanced. We want to see how we can recover from a fall. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, Here's a trustworthy saying, Paul says, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. So we said the first qualification is this desire, this passion to do something meaningful for God. This passion to work hard behind the scenes when no one else is looking. Put the spiritual disciplines in place to make sure you are grasping for something. The spiritual passion it takes. Verse 2. Now, an overseer must be above reproach. We need to live our life in a way where there are no handles of scandal on our lives. Husband of but one wife. That's what we looked at last time. This person must be faithful and they must be committed and they must be loyal to their husband, to their wife, to their family. It takes a person who is committed to their family to make an influence for Jesus Christ. You can't make an influence in your absence. You have to be one committed to your family. Here are the two we're going to look at today. Temperate and self-controlled. Temperate and self-controlled. To be temperate means to be sober, vigilant, not given to extremes. In one word, balance. Temperance is a spiritual discipline that causes us to think, sometimes stop, before acting or speaking. When temperance is woven through our character, we are not branded by rash actions. Now, no one is perfect. We're going to fall sometime. We're going to say something we shouldn't have said. We're going to do something we shouldn't have done. But the person who is temperate, for them, that is an abnormal thing. Doesn't normally happen. Life's full of twists and turns, and life moves fast. But the person who lives with temperance keeps balance regardless of the circumstances. Temperance is that inner gauge that keeps control of your life. How many of you have ever driven cross country? You've moved and you've driven on a U-Haul or a Ryder or whatever, those rental trucks. And you got all your stuff, you got everything you have ever owned packed in that thing, and you're trying to make some time, and you get a good downhill, and all of a sudden, thing only will go 60 miles an hour. It has a governor on it. It won't let you go faster than that. Temperance is that inner governor that slows us down. If we're going to own our influence, we have to have that inner governor, that balance of temperance in our words and actions and emotions. The second word that Paul adds to this, very similar, just a slight difference, is self-control. Self-control means to be sober-minded. It means to be sensible. It means to be stable. Again, balance. Describes a person who is trustworthy. They are dependable. Temperance rules out the pattern of rash actions. Self-controlled rules out the patterns of excess. Self-controlled is a spiritual discipline that guides our emotions. It keeps our personal ambitions in biblical perspective. It keeps our passions and desires governed. Sometimes, again, the downhill slopes of life move pretty fast. We feel like things are getting out of control. But when we are conscious of the spiritual discipline of self-control, this character trait, then we can slow down. And we can gain the balance that we need. Now, just in case anyone thinks that this is not for them, Paul makes sure to cover the bases on that. So in Titus chapter 2, he tells Titus, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control. Look at verse 3. Likewise, teach your older women to be reverent in the way they live, not as slanders or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then, when they have those characteristics, they can teach the younger women to love their husbands and children and be self-controlled. Look at verse 6. Similarly, encourage the younger men to be what? Self-controlled. I think everyone is covered there. Now, when I'm trying to figure out what a word means, I like to see what it doesn't mean. I like to do a little compare and contrast. So let me do that with you. The opposite of temperance and self-control, let me throw out this word, impulsiveness. Impulsiveness. The opposite of balance is impulsive. Let's look at some areas of our life here and compare and contrast them. Let's look at sexuality. temperance and self-control keep the gift of sex within marriage between a man and a woman. They're committed to that. Impulsiveness acts out in sexual promiscuity, a pre-marriage hookup, dangerous liaison, full-out affair, impulsive, out of balance, out of control, not temperate, not self-control. What about money? Temperance and self-control live within one's means. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is a great gain. Impulsiveness speeds out of control. Someone always looking for a get-rich scheme. Someone committed to the lottery. An impulsive purchase or a lifestyle of impulsive purchasing. Out of control spending. The sin of materialism. Yeah, and it is a sin, isn't it? 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, for the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Some people in the church, people in the congregation, because they loved money so much, they were willing to do anything for it, sacrifice themselves, sacrifice their families, do anything they needed to do to get the money, and they have wandered from the faith. They have pierced themselves with many griefs. What could some of those griefs be? Family stuff, out of balance life. How about relationships? Temperance and self-control guide emotions and response. Impulsiveness acts out in thin skin bursts, flash fires of temper, rash decisions to call it quits. And so the guy comes home and says, I quit my job today. Well, why did you quit? Well, I had an argument with my boss, and so I said, stuff it. Rash decision. One of the best advices my dad ever gave me is, don't quit one job until you already have another. Unguarded lips that spew out reckless words. How many people do you know? Maybe you're one of them. You haven't talked to your brother or sister or parent or friend for years because long ago, someone said something, you got your feelings hurt. When you peel it back, it was so small, but now it's been years you don't talk to that person. Addictive substances, temperance and self-control carefully regulate or abstain from anything that could become addictive. Impulsiveness finds comfort or relaxation in substance, alcohol, drugs, prescriptions. In chapter 3, verse 3, not given to drunkenness, literally not sitting long with his wine. Now someone can say, I got that one covered. I'm never drunk. I'm never slobbering and stammering all over the place. But let's think about it. Where's the line? And if you drink to cut the edge or relax, is that the control you want? I got a good friend, and he quit drinking a long time ago because he said when I would travel and I'd go to the lobby, and one drink would cut the edge off enough to where I might say something I wish I hadn't said or just enough to do something I don't want to do. So you got to make those decisions. Drunkenness, we know that's a sin. But again, you don't have to be stammering down the hallway to be losing control with alcohol. Recreation. Temperance and self-control use recreation for recreation. That's what the word means. Recreating ourselves. Refreshment. Impulsiveness becomes obsessive with recreation. A compulsive hobby. A fanatical pursuit. An endeavor that preoccupies your mind and sucks your energy. Some people never go to church because they got a hobby. So they're always on the lake or they're always on the slopes or they're always at the weekend house. And I have nothing against any of those things. If you would invite me sometime, I would appreciate it. It's just the obsession with stuff, right? We're talking about self-control. We're talking about temperance. Here's one I'll just do real quick. Doctrine. Temperance and self-control is grounded in biblical truth. All of biblical truth. But there are some people who will take a verse out of Scripture and they will milk that thing for all it's worth, forgetting everything else that keeps it in balance. So we could do that with the law. Legalism is out of balance doctrine. It doesn't include grace. But grace without the law is called antinomianism. It's a heresy. It's all about grace. You just teach grace. Just talk about grace. All about grace. Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to look at the guy who's getting ready to have an affair and just say, hey, you know what? You go right ahead because God will forgive you. It's all about grace, man. After you get finished, just know God will forgive you. Now, is that true? Yeah. But is that the truth he needs to hear at that time? Absolutely not. And so some people take doctrine and impulsiveness seeks a desire-based religion. Doctrine of me, what's good for me. Grace has a license to sin, a new twist on an orthodox scripture. So we got to be people who are not out of balance when it even comes to what we consider spiritual growth. If it's not in God's word, we're in trouble. Someone said a new teaching is an old heresy. There's not a new teaching that hadn't been knocked down as an old heresy somewhere in church history. It's got to be in God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, we got to be pretty discerning to know what's being taught out there. That sounds great, but the genesis of it is deceiving spirits. Such teaching come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron, out of balance for sure. And Paul had some specific illustrations. In his day, there were a group of people going around saying, if you're really spiritual, you cannot get married. They forbid people to marry and in order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. So Paul had some specific examples. We could have some specific examples today. If you don't do this certain Bible study, you really don't get it. You got to do this certain thing to really be a Christian. And we have that stuff going on all the time. Look at verse 6. If you point these things out to brothers and sisters, it's generic, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myth and no wise tales. Rather, train yourselves. Train yourself is the word gymnazo. We get the word gymnasium from it. You're going to work hard. There are things you got to put in place in order to keep the balance in your life. All right, four things real quick that we can do to keep balance. Number one, be grounded. Be grounded in the faith. Go through the essentials of the Christian faith and know what they are so that if we know the truth, then we can know what error looks like. You're not going to know what error looks like unless you know the truth. Be grounded. Number two, be on the alert. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You cannot stand firm unless you are what? Balanced. You know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same type of suffering. Be alert. Three, be eternalistic. Be eternal-minded. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is teaching about the end times. He's saying that if we're going to be kingdom-minded, we have to be thinking that Jesus is going to come back. There's going to be an eternity. This isn't it. And so he says in Luke chapter 21, verse 32, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And then he says this, be careful Be watchful is another word, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, the anxieties of life, and the day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. Jesus is saying, if you are not living a balanced life and you're letting all the anxieties of this life weigh you down, you're going to miss preparing for eternity. For it will come upon you. All those who live on the face of the whole earth, no one's going to escape it. Be always on the what? The watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and so that you may be able to stand balance, firm before the Son of Man. We can let this downhill race of life get us out of balance. And so we need to keep an eternal perspective. We need to be grounded. We need to be watchful. We need to keep an eternal perspective. Number four, we need to know where the power is. This is something you cannot do on your own. We cannot live above reproach on our own. We cannot have the desire on our own. We cannot do the things we need to do as a husband and wife on our own. We certainly cannot be temperate or self-controlled on our own. None of these characteristics, unless the Spirit of God is working through us. Unless we are submitting to the Spirit's control of our life. We can't do it, but God can do it through us, and we partner with Him. Know where the power is. Galatians chapter 5, we won't take time to read it, talks about what the life looks like lived according to the flesh. And then Paul says, but we don't live by the flesh, we live by the Spirit. And here's what the life by the Spirit looks like. The gifts of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The Spirit is the one who brings self-control. So I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know God is seeking for us to be balanced. Some practical stuff, isn't it? Being temperate. What does that mean? How do you apply that in your life? Being self-controlled. What does that mean for you? What areas in your life are out of control? If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He is waiting on you today. And He desires you to come home. He desires, first of all, to save you from your sin and your separation from the Father. And He desires to put that balance in your life that you desperately need. If you're a believer, you may be out of balance. You may be focusing on some things that have no eternal value, and you're chasing some stuff. We get that feeling we're never satisfied. We chase stuff. And we got to get down to this basic question. If Jesus is all you had, would that be enough?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Respectable describes a person whose orderly outward life is a reflection of inner stability. A respectable person, in the biblical sense of the word, lives from the inside out.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of His life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.